Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, December 10th. Welcome to the show, Kelsey.
Thank you.
You made it here right in time, and I appreciate that.
I did.
Yeah. So what happened? Can you talk about it, or would you rather not?
Just things got out of control this morning and okay. A little bit late. Yeah, running late, you know.
Okay, no problem. So how are you doing? You okay? Are you a little flustered or what?
I am a little flustered, but yeah. Yes.
You're good. You're ready.
Ready.
Ready for the show.
Here we are. Yes.
Okay. Well, we're supposed to have a guest, but she's not here yet. So we'll see. Hopefully she'll make it here.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about her stuff. She sounds pretty interesting.
She does.
So we've had a lot of interesting guests, right? I mean, I haven't disappointed you yet.
No, not all this at week, all. Right? I'm so fascinated with the flying car.
I know, huh?
The sky car.
I know. I was telling everybody about it yesterday, you know. And people couldn't believe it. They said, yeah. And they have a picture of it actually like hovering, you know, for about 10, 20 feet in the air.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yes, it's insane. It is, right? It's so cool, yeah.
Wow. I don't know how they do it, but they do, you know?
Yeah.
But, and it doesn't cost that much, you know? I mean, like $200,000.
That's the thing that's so bizarre to me is, yeah. I mean, it's, of course, that's insanely expensive. Nothing I could buy.
Right. But I mean, people buy Teslas for $130,000, you know? So
exactly.
A car, you know, a regular car.
Right.
So that would be worth it, obviously, if we had money. But he said that most people are probably going to rent one, you know? So, yeah, that might be more affordable. I don't know how much that would cost, but sounds like a lot of money anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be more expensive than the average rental.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Just a little bit, right?
Yeah. Probably not, you know, $17 a day. But who knows? Maybe one day it will be that.
Yeah.
Which would be amazing.
I know. I can't wait. But obviously you can't be afraid of flying. And I've gotten afraid in my life, in recent years.
Yeah.
I was telling you about it and stuff. And the funny thing is I used to, I took flying lessons, you know, and one time I almost crashed, practicing stalls and things like that. I was like spinning toward the ground, if you can imagine that.
Okay, that
vertically.
Is scary.
That's very scary. I mean, you know, I was like shouting, God, no, not yet. You know, I'm not ready.
Oh, gosh.
And your whole life goes, in, you know, and...
So how did you get
control of
it?
But luckily I remembered how to get out of it because my instructor had put us into a spin deliberately before so I could know how to come out of it.
Okay.
And luckily that happened, you know. And because most of flying lessons is just doing stalls and knowing how to get out of them and things like that, you know.
Right.
So, so I remembered... When you're going vertically, the steering wheel isn't working. It doesn't do anything, you know, because there's no lift on the wings.
Right.
So you have to do it with your feet and with your, I think it was left foot or right foot, whatever. But you had to remember all that. And how do you... and then when you straighten out, the G-forces on your head, you feel you're going to be disoriented. So
right.
And I was alone. This was a solo flight. So, yeah, Kelsey, I was close, but
that's so
not what scared me, you know? I mean, I flew after that, too.
So, there you go. Conquer your fear.
Exactly. And then I flew solo to, cross country is what they call it. I flew from Vegas to Arizona.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I was living in Vegas at the time. That's why I was taking lessons there. So I took a flight from Vegas to Flagstaff or something, and which is a very small place. And you know, I was flying only by maps and everything. I mean, you're talking 20 years ago, maybe, where there was no GPS. You know, there was nothing like that. They had like what they call transponders, but it was very difficult to use to know where you are.
Right.
You know, because you don't know. You look down and you kind of like recognize some landmarks, but you know. So I'm like at 12,000 feet trying to figure out where the hell I am.
Oh, gosh.
And then I started to figure out mountains based on the map I had. And this is as I'm flying the plane, right, trying to figure out the map and looking around to see which mountain is which on the, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
So somehow, Kelsey, I got there. So, but as I'm approaching, suddenly I see like little planes flying right by me. And I'm going, what the hell is going on here? I was scared, you know. I mean, it's not supposed to happen.
Right.
So it was an airport with no tower. You just sort of like announce yourself and you land.
Ah.
So I finally landed and I found out there was an air show going on there. Nobody bothered
hilarious.
To tell me.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny.
Yeah, then I had to fly back from there. So, you know, and you have the whole plane under your responsibility. That's a lot, you know.
It's a ton. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how I did it. I really can't believe I did.
That's really neat, though. But
yeah. So, thankfully, today we have GPS, so it helps us out a lot, you know.
Gosh, I don't know where I would be without GPS, to
right?
be honest.
Yeah.
I would go insane, especially, you know, moving to a new city and living
in a big city.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to understand that LA, before GPS, used to have like a whole book of maps, street maps. They called it the Thomas Guide. And you had to look up streets like on the index. So you look up the street, then it tells you where on the map it is, and you turn the pages and have to find that.
How interesting. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's the way it was. I mean, it was funny, but you needed that because LA is so spread out.
Right.
And big, you know.
It's huge.
But you're right.
I live by GPS, definitely.
Yeah, huh? I know. Do you use Waze?
You know what? I don't, yeah. But I should.
You should, because it takes into account traffic, too.
Yeah, I've heard it's, like, really good.
It is. Just download it, Waze, and it's an amazing... I mean, once you start using that for GPS, you won't use anything else.
Right.
It's really cool, you know, because people... Actually, the drivers get to report what's on the road, and it also uses, like, speed, like, traffic speed and things like that. So it's very accurate. I mean, to the second almost, you know.
What?
Yeah, I know. And then it adjusts itself as you go, you know. But usually it's pretty accurate.
Very
so,
cool.
So, yeah. Well, we always find new apps here, you know. Do you use any apps on your phone that you like that are special or unique?
You know,
just
I haven't explored very much, but you know, of course, I use all the social media apps.
Right.
By the way, guys, if you want to know what the lady behind the mic looks like, you can look me up on Instagram. It's at KelseyBohlen. See a bunch of pictures there. I'm always posting pictures from the show. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I didn't see you post anything on Facebook, so you like Instagram better.
It's kind of the new thing.
Yeah, I know. You know? I know.
But I do post some on Facebook.
Right.
But more on Instagram, I would
say. Okay, well, I'll have to check it out and follow you on Instagram. Because I hang out mostly on Facebook, you know. So that's where I post the pictures and stuff. There's a page for the show, and we always have all the pictures on there.
Right.
So we'll put your picture up too and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So,
I can't wait.
Yeah. But you guys can see, like, this week we took a picture with our guests. So just look up Sam in the Morning on Facebook. You'll find it. But also, in fact, actually, I do have a page on Instagram for the show. In fact, I post all the pictures there too. I totally forgot. So
I saw that.
We do, but yeah. I don't put any descriptions because by the time I finish with Facebook, I'm too lazy. But all I got to do is copy and paste, you know. But you got to do it by phone, and that's the irritating thing. I don't like doing things on the phone, you know.
Right.
Other than the basic things that that are appropriate for the phone. But, you know, if I have to, like, post. And that's the thing. Instagram is only by phone, you know. You can only view it online, but as far as posting and writing and things like that, you can only do it on your phone on a mobile
exactly
app.
Which is kind of crazy.
I
oftentimes wish that you could do it on a computer, because you know sometimes your pictures are on the computer. But
closer to the mic.
Oh, there we
go. You forget.
I know, I do. But yeah, it's definitely very mobile friendly.
Right, yeah. But I like it. I mean, a lot of people put pictures, you know, it's a lot of selfies, or if not selfies, pictures of yourself that somebody else took. You
yes.
know? I mean, people are like that. And it's the funny thing is we used to, I think we used to consider people like that narcissistic and, you know, and all that. But today everybody does it, you know. So
they
what does
do.
It say about society? We all want to be stars, you know.
I know. Yeah. And the whole social media thing has just become a phenomenon.
Yeah.
And what is so perplexing about it is a lot of times, you know, agents and managers, they'll ask how many followers you have.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre. I never thought it would come to that, but it has. So.
It does. It's crazy that people do, you know. But I didn't realize that. I didn't realize people ask.
Yeah, they do. It's crazy.
Have them look it up, lazy people.
I know.
Yeah, you know, you look it up. You figure it out, you know. But that's crazy. Yeah, I guess they want you to bring some attention to wherever you are, you know.
Right.
Wow. I would never rate someone based on their followers. I mean, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just kind of the same way as well. But
yeah, I mean, if you play the game, you're going to have a lot of followers. But who's got the time to tweet every day, all day, and Facebook, and Instagram? I don't have time for all that. So I picked one that I like, and that's where I am, you know.
Right.
I feel Facebook is a community where Twitter is just like a wasteland where everybody can say anything, and there's no relationships between people. You know?
Right. That is so true. I'm not a huge Twitter fan. Now, my little sister, Brooke, is so into Twitter, and I haven't been able to get into it.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It depends. Some people live by it, you know, but because you can communicate with people you don't know and things like that. But I don't know. I mean, on Facebook, the conversations are all in one place. You don't have to look up the original and all that. You know, it's like Twitter makes me crazy, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I feel Facebook is more of a community, you know, and it's cool, you know, people's birthdays and things like that.
I love that. And, you know, now it gives you the notification.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, it didn't do that.
Right.
But now it's like, oh, so-and-so and so-and-so have birthdays today.
Right.
Which is kind of cool because then you don't forget.
Exactly. You don't need calendars anymore.
I know, which I'm very guilty of doing. So.
I know. I never used to know anybody's birthday, you know.
Right.
And then you start with, and then people are upset that you don't remember. And everything. And now we have it all there on Facebook. You never forget a birthday.
Right.
That's funny. You know, I mean, even when you don't see that notification, suddenly you see somebody wishing a friend a birthday and you're like, oh my God.
You're like, oh, I better do that too.
Yeah. It's like, oh, look, I remembered.
Right. It's crazy. Crazy.
Wow. So today's Thursday already, huh?
That is bizarre.
Almost the weekend.
It is. Oh, yeah. Thank goodness. Hello, weekends. I'm ready for that.
Yeah, huh? What do you usually do on weekends? Do you relax? Do you go out? What do you like to do?
I relax.
Do you? I know, yes. Me too.
That's what I like to do.
Like sleep more than you would.
Right, more than you normally would. Yeah. I do. I take advantage of that off time and do a lot of sleeping and, you know, I'll maybe like go to some workout classes, which is always fun.
Right.
Or go biking on the beach, which is gorgeous.
That's amazing. I love doing that.
Yeah. What do you do?
Well, in the summer, I do go to the beach a lot with my bike and I ride there. It's just so peaceful, you know, even though there's a lot of people, you just have the breeze and the sun and everything. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
And so what else? I mean, now that my parents are here, spend time with the family, my kids are usually busy on the weekend, so I don't see them then. But
how many kids do you have?
Oh, I have two grown kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My daughter's 25 and my son is 23.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Actually, he's 22. Yeah, this is a 3-year difference between them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, golden years. They're in the golden years. Definitely.
Yeah. So, no, I love them to death and stuff. And sometimes I miss the time when they were young, you know. I mean, Facebook keeps putting... Are you feeling something with the headphones? Or is it just me?
No, it's me too.
Yeah, let me fix this because it's the wire here. Something happened. But yeah, so, you know, we used to have a lot of great times together when they were kids and stuff. I love that, you know?
Yeah.
Because it was like you're a god to them when they're young, you know?
Right?
Yeah.
I know.
And then they go their own way and it's like, come on, guys, you know? But no, it was like their later teen years, I didn't see a lot of them. I mean, a lot of them. And, but now I do, you know. Now we make time and they realize it's important.
Right.
So it's cool. Yeah, I went to lunch with my daughter yesterday. Yeah, I need to fix this here. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like there's a cable here that kind of makes the headphones funny.
Yeah. I'm noticing that too.
Yeah, huh? It's going from one side to another.
It's so insane. Yeah, when you're like, you're hearing from one ear and then the other ear and not both simultaneously.
I know. And the amazing thing is that all the, you know, when there are problems, they're always like right before my show because that's when we turn on everything in the morning.
Right.
You know, and you go, what is this, ghost in the machine so early in the morning? You know, what's going on?
Yeah, and you have to like work all the kinks out.
Yeah, you know, and I start freaking out, of course.
Yeah.
Because I like things to be perfect. And it's hard because there's so many variables in the station. You know, you're dependent on so many different things on the internet and computers and connections and God knows what else.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So to have everything work 100% is very lucky.
Very lucky.
Every day that passes like that, I'm happy about.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Looks like our guest is not going to show up.
I know.
Right?
Where are they? They're
I don't
not
know.
Here.
Yeah. The funny thing is somebody came here and that supposedly with that party that's supposed to be here, but or whether it's a person or a few people, I don't know. But the guest herself is not here. I don't know what's going on, man.
Okay, it's just us two then.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so, you know, weekends, I'd like to, I need to take a vacation. I took a trip for a few days up north to see my friends back in October, it was. And that was the first vacation I took in like a year or 2 years, you know. Yeah, so
how
I need
nice.
To get away. Yeah, but that wasn't enough. I need to go to Hawaii or something.
Yes. Oh, touche to that.
Right? Have you been to Hawaii yet?
I actually haven't.
Really?
I know. It's,
yeah. Now you're closer to it than LA, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
All the more reason to go.
Exactly.
I have been to, you know, Canada and Mexico and the Caribbean, but and Europe, actually. I was telling you a couple of days ago that I did take a European vacation with my with my mom and my cousin and my sister, and so we had a really good time. And it was my first time to actually go to Europe, which is interesting, and it was fascinating. It was a great experience.
It is. It's amazing, right? I mean, so much history and culture and stuff.
The pastries in France.
Yeah, huh? Isn't that something?
Oh, take me back.
I know. You can't find pastries like that here, you know. I think in New York, you know, where people walk and stuff and bakeries, you can smell everything on the street and all that. It's fresh. But here in L.A., everything is like Starbucks. It's all frozen.
I know.
You know, and cold with no taste.
I know. You know, it was so funny. We stayed at this, the hotel rooms were perplexing to me in Europe.
Yeah, they're old.
They are old.
Right, most of them are very old.
Yeah, and it's not the same as America.
No.
You know, they don't have, I'm sure they do have luxurious hotel rooms. We probably just weren't staying in one, but.
Because they're so expensive.
Right.
Right.
I mean, we were paying quite a bit.
Yeah, European hotels are expensive, yeah. And they're old and they're, you know, they're terrible, and some of the bathrooms are weird, the faucets, and you know, I don't know. I was in Amsterdam, and one of the hotels, the hotel room, had a toilet that was, I mean, it looked normal, but where everything collects was in the front instead of in the back.
What?
Where everything drains.
Oh,
so
wow.
So you're like shitting on the porcelain.
Oh, gross.
I know. I mean, I didn't mean to gross you out, but I'm like, what kind of a toilet is this, you know?
That's crazy.
Yeah, what were they thinking? So I thought maybe I'm sitting wrong. Maybe I should be facing the wall or something.
Hey.
I don't know.
I've never been to Amsterdam. How was that?
It's
like
amazing.
Amsterdam?
It's amazing.
Really?
Yeah. Especially for potheads like me.
Yeah.
The listeners know I like to smoke pot. So when I go there, I do. And I mean, now you can smoke here too in California and in many states, but when I went there, you couldn't. And still, like, even if you go to Colorado now where they legalized it,
right,
you can't, like, they don't have coffee shops and stuff where you can go out and smoke with someone together, like in a bar.
Right.
In Amsterdam, they have that. So
really?
You just go, they
that
have a menu.
So cool.
They have a menu, you pick out your strain, and you sit there and smoke with people.
No way.
Yeah. So it's cool because, I mean, that alone is, it's cool, but that's not a reason enough to go to Amsterdam. The nice thing is that it's got so much art and culture and, you know, cathedrals and museums and the canals. Everything is on canals there.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So it's like it's laid out like a spider web, you know, where
yeah.
you have canals going around and across. Amazing place. The people are amazing. And, yeah, it's a very liberal place. You know, sex is very liberal there, you know, sex shops and stuff.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it's Sin City of Europe.
Pretty oh, much. Gosh.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the Vegas.
Yeah,
of
exactly. The Vegas of Europe.
Interesting.
So, yeah. But it's fun to go. I mean, it's one of the coolest places. I think Holland is an amazing place.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, even in the country, although I didn't get a chance to go, but obviously I've seen pictures and stuff of windmills and, you know, and cows and
yeah.
green and all that stuff. So
yeah, there are some gorgeous places there for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It does get cold in the winter, though. I went in, I think, maybe in February or something. It was still very cold, but it wasn't snowy anymore.
Oh, that is not for me.
Yeah.
That cold weather business.
I know. It gets icy there.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, you're from Texas, too, so you're not accustomed to cold weather.
I'm not. You know, yeah. occasionally we'll have a bout of really cold weather, like if a front, you know, rolls through or whatever, but traditionally it's pretty pretty warm.
Yeah.
So we like that.
I know. No snow in Texas.
Not much. At Dallas, occasionally up in North Texas, they'll get a little snow every now and then, but it hardly ever sticks.
Yeah.
You know, because yeah. it's just so it's so hot, like
right.
the pavement is, or, you know, the ground is really hot, so it doesn't stick. It's not cold enough.
Yeah,
to, so.
No, not that. And I'm glad I live in a good, you know, survivable weather where some people live in places I don't know. I don't understand how they can stand it.
I know. We
you
do.
Know, so cold.
We do live in survivable weather. We're really, we're lucky to be here.
True. We're very lucky to be in California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
I know. You just have to, sometimes you think of the earthquakes and you don't want to think about them. And, but the reason I brought this up is because this morning I saw on Facebook, the Japanese invented a bed, like it has like a canopy on top.
Okay.
And when there's an earthquake, a shaking, it folds itself in with you in it.
Oh, you're kidding.
Becomes like a metal box and there's supplies inside, like water and... Yeah.
That is so cool.
Isn't that cool, though? So they show you a whole building collapses on this, and you survive.
Wow.
You know, inside this metal box that
wow.
was your bed.
Hey.
Isn't that something?
What a great idea.
I know.
Leave it to the Japanese.
I know.
They
always come up with great things.
I know. Wow. That's pretty cool. Got to get me one of those.
I know. It's so scary to live in earthquake country. You know, people don't understand.
It is. It's so funny because every time I go back to Texas, people always ask, like, oh, you know, have you fallen off the map yet? Because they keep thinking LA is going to, you know.
Yeah, like California is going to separate from the mainland.
I know. I'm like, nope, we're still there.
We're still here.
Still kicking.
I know. It's funny, you know, because, like, people heard shooting in California, they already think we're like right next door to it. You know, when the San Bernardino thing happened, people are calling, are you guys okay? Are you guys okay? Well, yeah, you know, it only happened like a 2-hour drive from here.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it was a hike. It's
yeah.
a hike away from LA for sure. Definitely
yeah.
not right next door, but very sad situation. People were calling me as well, like, oh, are you
really?
Okay? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, it's human nature to worry like that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Have you seen any good movies lately? Do you go out to the movies?
I should go more.
Yeah.
given my profession, but no, I haven't been recently. What
do
you about
watch you? At home though? I mean, do you watch movies at home at all?
I do. I watched this great movie called Zipper the other day, which was really, it was on Netflix.
Really?
And I love discovering movies on Netflix because there are so many independent films.
Right, that you never heard of, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so great because some of those are the best kind.
Yeah.
You know, not the mainstream ones, but little secret and well-made. So.
That's interesting. I'm going to have to investigate those a little bit.
You should. Because
I usually go with like big box office movies and stuff that I've heard of, you know?
Right. I know. And most people do. Right. I do as well. But
a lot of people like independent movies. I mean, that's why many of them are successful.
You know.
People like that because there's more art into it. There's less special effects and everything. There's more acting.
Right.
Right?
I think that's one of the big appeals.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And you got people that are really working hard on building their career and everything. And there's a lot of talented people that are not A-list, you know.
So many. I mean, you probably know as well as I do. The industry is really nepotistic. You know, in so many ways. So, exactly. You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many talented people who aren't A-list, and it's worth watching their movies, for sure.
Cool. So, you said you act in commercials. Do you do modeling, too? Well, you have your fitness thing as well.
Yes.
Do you do modeling, too?
I do. I do, yeah.
That's cool.
I do. I enjoy it.
When did you start that? Like, younger?
That was actually my first venture. Yes, I did start it very young. I was in a national Ariat campaign. I'm not sure if you guys know what that is, but
no, I don't know what that is.
You probably don't either. But it's a big boot company, and it's really popular in the South. And Ariat Boot and Clothing Company.
Oh, okay.
And so I did a big national ad campaign for them, which was really fun because. You know, the pictures were in Cavenders and Boot City and everywhere.
And like huge posters and things like that, right?
Yes, yeah. And, you know, people would like take pictures by it and send it to me, which was like so, like my friends and stuff, because they were everywhere.
Yeah. Wow, so, that's pretty cool.
It was really cool. It was really cool. So that's kind of what I started in. And I still do a little bit of that here and there.
Yeah.
Which
is very nice. So what, were you like a teenager when you started?
I was.
Really?
I believe I was 17 when that campaign was shot. So I was really young.
So and who urged you, your mom, your parents to get into modeling, or is it something you just wanted to do?
It's something I always kind of wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I submitted to a bunch of agencies and things like that. You know, I'm 5'8", so I'm not quite tall enough to be, and I have a very commercial look, so I'm not quite tall enough to be a runway model or have that edgy thing or whatever. And I didn't really want to be ever.
Yeah.
So,
is that like the holy grail to be a runway model, or because I would think, I mean, models are successful without it too. No.
Right. I don't know that it's the holy grail. I mean, I think that everybody has different goals, and it's definitely not. From my understanding, it's not where the big money is made in modeling.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's made through like ad campaigns and stuff like that.
Right.
So it just depends on your goals. But yes, I never did the runway route.
Yeah. That's okay. But at least you probably feel comfortable in front of the camera now and everything. Right?
Yes.
So that's important for acting.
Yeah. And like I said, I am a professional horse rider. So I rodeoed a lot when I was younger.
You never said that.
Oh.
Really?
Here we are. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
A professional rodeo rider.
Yes.
Tell
barrel
us about
racer.
That.
So I know the NFR is actually in Vegas at the moment, which is. Very tempting for me.
Yeah, why don't you go?
I know. I want to go. I'm like, trying to break away. But yeah, it was really, really a fun time in my life. And it's just such a rush. And I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie, I guess. So just the rush of like, you know, going down the alley and crossing the eye. And it's so fun. I miss it, actually. I'm looking for a place to ride in L.A.
Yeah.
But it's so impractical to have horses here.
Yeah, but you can go to they have stables and stuff all over the place where you can actually ride, and you know, if you like it so much, you know,
they do.
Don't let it die off. I mean, if you like it, you know. So did you start early on riding horses?
I did. Yeah. I have about 10 horses at home in Texas.
Are you serious?
In the barn? Yeah. We have a big ranch, and so lots of animals and stuff around always, but. Yes, I did start very early, and my older sister Juliana actually started before me, and she was racing and competing, and I was reluctant, but then I got into it and I really excelled at the sport, so I had a good time.
Wow, cool. So then you go into rodeos and what do you do? I mean, do you deal with the bulls and stuff too?
Not exactly. Not for the ladies. That's reserved for the gentlemen.
Oh, I thought so. I didn't know.
Yes, but no. Barrel racing. There are three barrels set up in a pen or arena, as they call it, and you race around them in a cloverleaf pattern.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and whoever it's, you know, everyone goes independently, obviously, and there's a timer. So whoever has the fastest time,
I see. So it's wins. A competition.
It is.
I
yes.
See. Okay.
It is.
Okay. Okay. Well, as long as you don't have to fight the bulls there.
Right? I know. I don't think I would have been very good at that.
Well, that's interesting. So that's cool. So you grew up on a ranch, right?
I did.
Wow. How cool is
that?
Yeah.
Wow. It was a lot of fun.
So you're totally a country girl, huh?
I am. And you know, it's always great to go back.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
Takes you back to your roots.
I know. Yeah. I just love it. And I'm going back for Christmas, actually. Do you have anything planned for the holidays?
Me? No.
No.
No, just to hang out here. I usually don't like to travel when everybody else travels.
Oh, it's the worst.
Yeah,
isn't it?
You know, but I can understand why some people would, you know, to see the family during the holidays. But
I know.
When I don't have to, I don't do it, you know. The only time I ever flew during the holiday was, like I told you, we went to New York City Christmas Day. And
that's amazing.
And everything was
fun.
All the airports were empty. Everything was empty, so it was perfect.
Yeah.
But so you going back for Christmas?
I am.
Cool.
Yes.
Good.
I'm excited.
So we'll get a few days off.
I know. I know. I can't wait to see everybody.
Yeah.
Cool. You know, they're always talking about coming out to LA, but it's just so much easier for me to go there.
Right.
Everybody's there. So as opposed to them coming here, I much prefer to go to
it's
them.
It's easier for you to go to them.
It is. And, you know, just that feeling of home and the ranch. And the horses and the cows, and it's great. I love it.
It sounds fascinating. I mean, I love that. You know, so you guys had livestock and all that.
Yeah, I'll have to send you some pictures. It's pretty vast.
Really?
We have like a few ranches around, and you know, we have one in a small town called Bandera, Texas, which is a fun little stomping ground. Uh-huh. I love it. And so that's kind of where a lot of good early childhood memories were made.
It was
great. And so we have a lot of cows on that ranch. And
now, are these ranches that, excuse me, that your dad sort of acquired, or did it run in the family through generations?
There are some that were inherited and some that were bought.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So it's, they are our pride and joy. We love them.
Yeah.
And we're always going and checking cows and, you know, doing all kinds of country stuff.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
A nice break from the city, you know?
It is. I think that's the best part about it, actually.
Yeah.
The break from the city.
Yeah.
Because you know how the city can be. It's a hustle and bustle and it's crazy. And it's great to get away. You know, sometimes we even go to Palm Springs, which have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't it great?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's okay, you know.
You're not a big fan.
No, not a big fan because there's not much to do. I mean, yeah, you stay at a resort or something. Right. You know, but in the summer, it's just so hot.
Yeah, I know.
But it is nice. Palm Springs is nice. You know, if you like desert surroundings and things like that, it's very cool.
Yeah, that's the thing to do is go stay at a resort and just get away from the city.
Yeah.
I love that.
I know. Well, it just crossed my mind that the person that was here probably was not for our guest. I think it's for the next show or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't think our guest even knew that they had an interview today. And this is somebody that we rescheduled from last week, I guess.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, dang it.
I know. So that's too bad.
I'm bummed they're not here.
I know. We'll reschedule, yeah. We always have things to talk about, right?
We do. Yeah. Always something exciting going on.
I know.
In La La Land over here.
I know. We haven't touched on politics since you joined the show.
We haven't.
No,
I know.
We haven't really. And I try to stay away from it because it's just so much, you know. And I see and read about it all the time that on the show I'd like to kind of take a break from it, you know.
Right.
If I can, you know. Because, I mean, most of my views are already said on the show and I probably will again.
Yeah.
But let's talk about this penis transplant that they're doing now for wounded troops. I mean, it's something like unbelievable and sounds like funny and stuff. But, I mean, this is for wounded troops, you know. They're saying that because of modern warfare, there's a lot more explosive devices out there.
Okay.
And, you know, so that can hurt your reproductive organs, let's say.
Oh.
And so they're doing this, and it's a transplant. I don't know who they take it from. Is it usually like dead people that they do transplants from or people that are about to die?
I think that's
because they do like face transplants. They do everything, you know.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I think that there are organ donors.
Right.
You know, for major organs. But
right. That once they die, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So that's probably how it is. But what is amazing is they're saying that at least in one case, the woman was able to get pregnant. Yeah, you know?
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, they're saying as long as the, we're getting technical here, but but it is an article on CNN, you know?
Yeah, that's
but they're
crazy.
Saying but they can't transplant the testicles for some reason, so they're saying if your testicles are okay but not your penis, they can fix that.
Gotcha.
And then you can still be reproductive and stuff. So
interesting.
I know. So this is like they're saying it costs about between $200,000 to $400,000, in addition to donated surgical time.
Oh wow! So it's a pretty penny. It's not cheap.
Yeah, but they're saying Johns Hopkins has volunteered to pay for the first transplant.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a new thing.
And the donating surgical time. So what does that mean? So.
Well, he donating his time to perform the surgery,
right?
I assume.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know how many they're doing for free, but yeah, I mean it's amazing, you know, that they can actually help these guys, you know, because the saying when a soldier is wounded, one of the first thing they ask the doctors, "How's my junk?" You know, that's what they're saying here. So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, men are concerned about these things, you know?
Sure.
We define ourselves with our penis.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
No, we do.
But it's so true.
Yeah, it is, you know? But.
Funny, but true.
Yeah, you know, we. That's why people. I think people with, like, less than normal or less than average length penises probably have a low self-esteem, you know. I can see why, because I mean, boys always compare and measure.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. So, and the point is, what for, you know? I mean, it's not like it really makes a difference, you know.
I know.
But, I mean, some women say it does, but, you know, I don't know. What do I know, right?
I'm not complaining. What does anybody know? I mean, some, you know, it is important to some women. What do I know? That's, you know, I don't know anything.
You mean you don't want to discuss it?
I don't know anything about that. But that's interesting. Yeah. And men are very concerned about that, yeah. I will say.
We are. We
so
are.
It's nice.
We're very concerned about sexuality, period. You know, I mean, the thing is, a lot of women don't realize this, but men think about sex like all the time. It's not like a little bit or sometimes. It's like all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. I mean, it's like, you know, you talk to guys, you'll go to a meeting or something, a business meeting or whatever,
uh-huh.
and it doesn't matter. I mean, you're going to notice the beautiful woman, you know? You're going to make a comment or something.
That's so true.
Yeah, so it's like our mind is there all the time.
Yeah, that's yeah. true. It's a biological thing.
It is. It's an evolutionary thing. And if we weren't like that, we wouldn't reproduce as much, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Necessary evil right there.
I know. So that's why even, you know, thanks to that wild sex drive that men have, even women that are less attractive or maybe don't get as much attention, they get to have babies too.
Of course. Yes. I've never met a man that's picky.
Exactly. You know?
They're like, yeah.
Like they say, especially 2 o'clock in the morning when you're at the bar.
Oh, isn't that true? Close, right? Oh, my God.
You'll go with just about anybody to bed.
Yes. They're like, okay, why not? Hey. That's funny. Do you go anywhere here that is like your, you know, watering hole in L.A.?
Oh, I don't really. Because I'm not a drinker. I mean, I'll drink socially, but I don't
Likewise.
Go to bars. Yeah.
Sure.
Although sometimes I wish I did, you know, because it's a cool way to meet people.
It is.
You know, but I don't know. It feels kind of weird to go alone to a bar. And when you go with someone, then you don't often meet that many people.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
It's sort
of like a dilemma, you know?
Right.
What do you do?
Right.
But I've seen a lot of people go to bars alone and they know the people there already. And uh-huh. They've met them and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a couple near my house, you know, and I always see people outside and going inside and all that. So it sounds pretty fun, but no, I don't have a place like that. I mean, I mostly go out to restaurants to eat and stuff.
Oh, likewise. Yeah. I love to do that.
Yeah.
I'm a big foodie.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite restaurants?
I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. There's several here in the valley that we go to, like sushi places.
Love
or,
it. Okay.
You know, steak places or something, you know.
Right.
Italian places. But no, I don't necessarily have one favorite.
Right.
How about on your side of town? Anything interesting there?
I go to Panini Cafe, actually, which is a chain. I know. It's a chain. There's one in Beverly Hills and one in Westwood. And I'm sure there are some other places as well. But it's really great Persian food. And I also like 800 Degrees pizza. Have you ever eaten there?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's so great. And you design your, you know, you build your own pizza or whatever.
Right.
It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, they have a few of those. They have Pizza Rev, of course, that I think they're the ones that started this idea of, like, it's like you go to the pizza place and it looks like a subway. You kind of walk down.
That's how it
right?
is. And yes.
Yeah. So that's how it is. So that's the same thing. And also they opened one down the street here on Ventura Boulevard called Medici. And yeah. And that one is like really, really cool. I mean, the decor and everything is just like, and it's higher quality. You know, you can tell. You can tell, you know. It's a different dining experience, but it's still those personal pizzas that have taken off in L.A. like nothing else, you know.
I know, wildfire. They're spreading like crazy. And, you know, it's so fun because I live in Westwood, which is very young and hip because of all those UCLA students.
Uh-huh.
And so that's really nice because it has such a hip vibe, you know.
It really does. I didn't realize you were in Westwood. You said something about Wilshire.
Right.
So I wasn't sure. Yeah. Okay, but Wilshire
does. Yeah, I live off Wilshire Boulevard, which is like right across from UCLA. So
yeah,
it's such a great neighborhood.
Yeah.
And also, the affordability factor is
Oh, really? It's affordable
great.
There?
It is.
I was just going to ask because Westwood is so expensive.
Right, but I assume just because of all of the students there that right. in order to survive, right. you know, they have to keep it affordable, yeah. which is great for me.
Yeah, that's true. So how did you pick that area? Because it was like happening and things like that? I mean, how did you know about it?
I've always kind of wanted to live in the corridor, in the Wilshire corridor. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Westwood is a happening place. I mean, a lot of young people there.
It is. Right? And it's fun and hip and cool, and it keeps you young, which is great. And, yeah. You know, so I really enjoy it. I was in Century City before that, actually.
Oh, really?
Before I moved to the corridor. Nice. Yeah. I enjoyed it at the time. I loved it. But after having experienced, you know, the corridor, right. I much prefer it
yeah.
to the Century City, yes. Because yeah. Century City is, you know, it's very industrial.
Yeah,
and
it's more businesses and offices.
Right,
yeah,
which is good.
Yeah.
But...
not a great place to live?
Not really,
yeah.
As far as I'm
I know.
Concerned.
There's one thing about Century City, it's not near any freeway, you know, so you always have to drive the streets there to get there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no freeways near there. It's sort of like in the middle.
I know.
So it takes a while to get there and to get out of there, but it's a nice place. It's a nice area. They have the Century Plaza Hotel there, and they have... like high rises and things like that there. So
oh, I love yeah. it. Yeah, I lived in a high rise.
Did you really?
Yes, one of the
wow,
twin.
You sure know how to live.
I know, high rise living.
Yeah, I love those.
Hashtag. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. Now I'm on the 8th floor. So it's a little, I was on the 16th floor in Century City, which
really
was a bit high.
Yeah. Yes. Huh?
And you know, then you run into all of the things that, all of the complications that come with living yeah, in a high rise, yeah. you know, like the slow elevator and the maintenance. And so it's not quite as glamorous as it sounds,
yeah.
but it's, I love it.
Yeah.
I do.
It's so different from the ranch, right?
Isn't that funny? Yeah. I know. It's so, so different. It's 180 degrees from where I grew up, yeah. you know, but I think that's what I like
yeah,
so much about
it. Yeah. That's why you
it.
Like it. Yeah, yeah. Sounds interesting. Very cool. So yeah, LA is interesting. For those of you who don't live in LA, highly recommended. Come and visit.
You gotta come visit.
Yeah, I mean, everybody comes here, you know.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, you'll get to see Hollywood and everything.
Yeah.
I'm... See, these are the guests, but they're for the next show. It's not oh. for our show.
Well, ours didn't want to come. Maybe they had a little too much fun at the watering hole last night. They're like, I'm not getting up for that, Sam, in the morning.
Yeah, right?
Like, I'm staying in bed.
I know. It does irritate me, though, because, you know, people come to you and they want an interview and then they don't show up. And you could have had somebody else instead, you know. So
true.
But I never, like... you know, I never really complain because I give people the benefit of a doubt, you know. Something could have happened and whatever, you know, so.
Yeah, like me this morning, running a little bit late, but I made it.
Yes.
I'll always be here, Johnny on the spot. But yeah, no, benefit of the doubt is good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know.
Yeah, exactly. You never know, you know. And as long as it's not a traffic excuse, we're good.
I know. You'll probably get an email later today and they'll be like, oh, so sorry I didn't make it. You
yeah.
know.
Unless they probably didn't even remember, and then I'll have to send them an email.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a possibility as well. You never know.
Yeah.
Stranger things have
so
happened.
We'll see. Yeah. But traffic excuses are a no-go for me.
And they're so prevalent in LA.
They are,
aren't
especially
they?
In the on the you know, in the radio station here. People sometimes are late for shows. You know, not the hosts. I mean, some hosts will get here like right on time or something. But yeah. Guests that run late, it's, you know, I don't understand. I mean, the thing is that, and I'm not talking about our guests today because we don't know why, but we're talking about people being late and giving you the traffic
in
issues,
general. Right.
I just hear it so many times here. And a couple of things come to mind. The first thing is this. If I was invited to a radio station, I'd get there half an hour, 45 minutes in advance. To me, it would be like a big deal, you know? Because usually the guests, the show's around them, you know? So you get a chance to be a star here for an hour, and obviously you don't think it's important enough to get here on time.
And then you just get to listen to us talk. Yeah. I agree. I know.
And some people just waltz in the middle of the show, and it's like so rude, you know. But, you know, so that's one thing. And another thing is I've lived in this town for 35 years.
Wow.
And I deal with the same traffic as everybody else. I'm never late to anything.
I know. I'm never late either.
Yeah.
I'm always on time.
You take a little extra time. You know, that's my advice. And obviously people that arrive late do not know how to estimate time very well, right? Or they wouldn't be late. So
Poor time management, that's for sure.
To me, if you don't know how to manage time, then you should definitely take some extra time to get there, you know?
Likewise.
But they don't. They don't. So so that's terrible. But at any rate, like I said, we don't know what happened to our guest. We'll reschedule her and all will be fine.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for joining us. Thanks, Kelsey, for always being peppy and upbeat and bubbly and all that.
Of course. I love it.
It helps the morning.
This is my favorite job.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.